Over the last 6 weeks, we have been journeying with Jesus. We with him have encountered illness, aging, children in our midst, death, and change. We've not only talked about these subjects, we have encountered them. We hear it in our prayer time. Our scriptures are filled with these very real, very human moments. The life of Jesus is incredibly powerful and incredibly applicable because of these real and human moments. That's what makes our scripture so powerful. And today, amidst the fanfare and the celebration of the crowd, amidst the throngs of adulation, we find another very real moment in Jesus' journey. You see, today's real moment is the moment that everybody amidst the crowd in Jerusalem and all the things, everybody pauses. And suddenly they ask, who is this guy? It's a very real moment in the story of Jesus. Listen for the question as we hear our scripture from Matthew. When Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you'll find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs it. And he sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey and on the colt, the donkey's offspring. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had told them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their cloaks upon them, and Jesus sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothing on the road. Others cut branches off of the palm trees to spread on the road and wave in the air. The crowds in front of Jesus and behind Jesus shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds answered, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Who is this? The whole city was stirred up, wondering, asking a very real question. Who is this? Now, I do appreciate the attempt of the crowds at the end of the story when folks begin to ask the who is this question, and some of the crowd begins to reply, oh, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Like being able to tell someone's name means you have the inside track in what's really going on. Ooh, all of this fanfare, all of this hubbub, there's people talking. Who is this? Oh, his name's Jesus. Yeah, but who is that? Oh, it's Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Yeah, you said that, but who is he? It's Jesus. You're still not answering my question. His name's Jesus. He's from Nazareth in Galilee. I get that. But who is he? I don't know. Jesus? This is what's going on in the city. People think they know one thing and they don't really. And everybody's asking everybody. They don't know. There are plenty of people who want to pretend that they know. They act like they're in the know. But they don't know. They don't know who he is. They don't know what he's really about, and they do not know what is days away from happening. They don't realize that they will all turn on him, and their shouts of joy will soon turn to shouts of condemnation. I mean, if they knew, if they really knew who he was, they would understand that their cheers and songs were a foreshadowing of his very death. You've heard it in the psalm we read, in the song sung by the choir in our own hymns. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the crowd shouted. These are not new words. These are not words that someone decided, hey, let's make up something new for Jesus. These are old words. They have been a part of the worship life of the Hebrew people for generations. They are singing the words from a psalm, Psalm 118. The reason we used it today is because that's the psalm that they are singing. It's a psalm that is sung at the temple on a regular basis. The psalm they are singing is the psalm sung as sacrifices are being taken to the altar. That's what they're singing in the streets. The crowd on Palm Sunday is singing songs that move a sacrifice to the altar. They haven't made the connection. because they don't know. And that's what the whole city is asking about, because they want to know. Whether it's the crowds that are adoring him, those who are ignoring him, the leaders that are fearing him, the critics that are jeering him, they are all asking the question, who is this? Jesus got them all asking. And let me tell you, it was by inspired design. One of the greatest gifts Jesus has is his ability to interrupt life. That is something Jesus is very good at. He upends expectations. He turns questions back on those who ask them. He seems to take pleasure in making powerful people feel uncomfortable. And he always, always keeps you guessing. He always keeps people asking, now, who is that? And as people ask that question, what's his story? When people ask that question, they're not just asking about his story. They have to reflect on their own story. They have to reflect on the story that is being lived in the world around them. Because there is a story being lived all around them. There's a story being lived all around us. The culture of their day, the influence of the powers that be, every era in time has a story. And theirs is a story in which the powerful make the rules for their own benefit. Theirs is a story in which those on the edges are seen as expendable and unworthy of care. Theirs is a story in which people who are different are suspect, less than, and unwanted. This is the story being lived all around them. And it is not a story of life. It is instead a story of our imperfect human condition. And that is not God's story. That is not the divine story of possibility, the story of life abundant that Jesus is bringing. Jesus is bringing a story of God's kingdom at hand all around us right now. But to bring something new, to tell a different story, you have to interrupt the story that's already being told. And that is what Jesus has been doing. Every life he changed, every outcast he dined with, every parable he told, every sermon he preached, Jesus was interrupting the repetitive, mundane drone of brokenness and injustice. He interrupted life to make people ask questions. And he did so by living a life that was worthy of intrigue. His rebellious act of interrupting the accepted story was causing people to ask questions. And these questions were leading to something. You know, throughout humanity's history, God has repeatedly sent prophets, people who would speak truth as a way of telling a new story to God's people. One of my favorite biblical scholars, Walter Brueggemann, he has spent a great deal of his career studying these prophets, and he noticed a pattern. He talks about it in one of his books, The Prophetic Imagination. The most successful prophets do not tell stories of doom and gloom. The most successful prophets instead paint a picture of possibility. They do not speak of failure and destruction. Instead, successful prophets stir the imagination of the people. They stir the imagination in such a way that the people, God's people, can dream again of what is possible. They lead others to dream a story of life. And they do this by living and speaking in such a way that those around them can't help but ask questions. There is a reason the entire city of Jerusalem was stirring and asking questions, because Jesus was causing people to dream. People who had wandered in darkness were dreaming of light. Those who had been called sinful and unredeemable were dreaming of being called worthy of God's love. The meek were dreaming of inheriting the earth. The mournful were dreaming of being comforted. Those who hungered and thirsted were dreaming of being satisfied. As he rode in on this donkey, he was surrounded by these songs of sacrifice as people in power were plotting to destroy him. And he continued his life's work, calling God's people to dream dreams of something more. And so today, as we again wave palm branches, as we hear the stories of Jesus, I hope there is a murmur running through the crowd. Throughout these last weeks, as we have confronted the very real issues of life and saw Jesus do the same thing, I hope there is a stirring in our midst. Who is this guy? What's he about? Who is he? Who is this guy on a donkey that's causing such a commotion? Because if we can be stirred to question, if we can be stirred to dream dreams that lead to a life worthy of intrigue, then our very living might cause others to ask questions as well. Because if our lives can be interrupted, perhaps we can live lives that interrupt and challenge the story of our day. I wonder, think about our modern story, not so different from the story of the day. You know, a story in which the powerful make rules for their own benefit. A story in which those on the edges are seen as expendable and unworthy of care. A story where people who are different are considered suspect, less than, and unwanted. Can that story be interrupted? Can that story be replaced by a wider dream? I believe it can, because that's what following Jesus is all about. As a community of faith, we are at our best when we are living and acting in such a way that people ask questions. When we feed the hungry, advocate for the forgotten, seek justice for the oppressed, or tend to the broken, when we visit those grieving places in life and don't run away from them, when we do these things, we make people ask questions, and we are bringing forth a wider dream. When we declare that women's rights are human's rights, that black lives matter, that no human is illegal, that science is real, when we publicly declare that Christian people can hold these values, we are bringing forth a wider dream and causing people to ask questions. When we offer what we have, what we do, and even more who we are into building a home where all belong, we are bringing forth a wider dream. It interrupts the story. And I tell you, the world may not always understand, because this is counter to the reality too many people know. This is a different story. It's a story that lifts up the lowly and remembers the forgotten, a story that questions institutions and refuses to back down in fear. It's a story that holds people accountable. This is a different story. And that's what makes it powerful. Our scripture today, Jesus journeying into Jerusalem, sets up the most counterintuitive, countercultural, counter everything story you are ever gonna hear. This week will make you ask questions, because Holy Week runs against the grain. This week, Jesus will die. But next week, he won't be dead. This is a story of an interruption of the natural order, an interruption of power and control, an interruption of fear. This week is supposed to raise questions, because those questions stir something within us. And so I invite you to be present to the story of today and the story of this week. Be with us on Thursday night to hear a story unlike anything the world can understand, that it might stir within you questions that bring forth dreams of what can be. Amen.